Lord God, we thank you that we're able to come into this nice, warm building this evening to sing these carols that focus our attention upon the Lord Jesus and his coming into our world. He was your indescribable gift to us. Your word reminds us that he came into the world for a reason. And that was to save his people from their sins. We pray that these carols would enable us to think more carefully about the Lord Jesus tonight. And that we might, as we sing them, be enabled to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to commit our time to you. We pray for all those who have a part to play. We ask that you would grant them clarity of mind and of speech. We look forward to reading your holy word and reminding ourselves of the Christmas story. Please add your blessing tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I predict the future with accuracy? Well, the answer to that question is no. I can guess what might happen tomorrow. I can say what I think is likely to happen tomorrow, but I cannot be 100% certain about tomorrow. You see, there is so much outside of my control that prevents me from being certain. And yet, 700 or so years ago, a man named Isaiah made a number of long-term predictions or prophetic announcements regarding the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And they came true. Did he have special powers? I would argue no. The answer as to how it was possible is found in the Bible, in the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 we read, "Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." In other words, God enabled the prophet Isaiah to say and write the things he did. See, God knows the future and is able to bring his will to pass. Please listen to the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Isaiah's prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus into the world is about to be fulfilled, according to our next reading. Once again, the birth of Jesus Christ is announced, though this time by an angel from heaven. Of course, Jesus would be no ordinary child. How could he be with so much divine attention being given to him? Jesus would be the Son of the Most High, as these verses tell us.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
"He performs mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
How often do you think virgins gave birth to children 2,000 years ago? It seems hard, doesn't it, to believe that such a thing could have been possible? Unless, of course, you believe that God is able to do what is humanly impossible. For Joseph to learn that Mary was pregnant naturally resulted in him thinking she had been unfaithful to him. In our next reading, we learn that he had in mind to divorce her. But this was God's doing. And so God intervened to explain things to Joseph so that the marriage might be saved. God sent an angel to Joseph, and it was on this occasion that Joseph learned something about the baby Mary would bear. He would save his people from their sins.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
God's word always comes to pass. His promises can always be relied upon. Now, where had the prophet Micah, 700 years or so prior to the birth of Jesus, said that he would be born? The answer is Bethlehem. But Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. How were they going to be found in Bethlehem when the time came for Mary to give birth to Jesus? Friends, because God is God and is able to work all things after the counsel of his own will, this was not a problem for him, as we shall see in our next reading.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Our next reading is all about the shepherds that were keeping watch over their flocks by night. These were really tough, hardy men. They were used to the rain and the cold, and were always ready to fight off wild animals that threatened to kill their sheep. And of course, they didn't have guns. They needed to fight off such wild animals with what was available to them. But these hard men were really frightened one night because they received an angelic visitation. But they were not to be afraid, because good news from heaven was being brought to them. A saviour had been born to them. Friends, this is so much more than a nice, sentimental story. The birth of Jesus is good news for all men. There is salvation from sin and to heaven for all who will receive him. James is going to come and bring our next Bible reading to us.
And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The wise men travelled from afar to bring their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. But not only did they give him gifts, they worshipped him, for he was greater than any earthly king. He was King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, in Jesus Christ we see God. In Jesus Christ we have the Word, we have God made flesh and dwelling among us. In Jesus Christ we have the image of the invisible God. If we want to know what God is like, the Bible says that we are to look at Jesus. Sarah is going to bring the next reading to us.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route."
We live in a world where lots of people are hard at work trying to put together attractive looking, eye-catching posters. You may have travelled into London and walked into a tube station and travelled down one of the escalators and seen lots of interesting looking posters. We have someone in our church, his name is Brian, and he works hard to put together lots of eye-catching posters. And these posters are displayed around the church for people to see. Recently, he sent me a number of these posters to look at and approve. And I want to show you two of them this evening. Perhaps we can have the first one up on the screen. That's not the one. That is the one. Now, I must admit that it took me a few moments to work out. And so I'm going to give you a moment or two to work it out for yourself. I'm not going to explain it. Let's have the next one. And I'm going to read it to you. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the second person in the Trinity. In other words, he claimed to be God. If it was untrue, and he knew it was untrue, then he was a liar. If it was untrue, and he thought it was true, then he was a lunatic. But if he was telling the truth, then he is Lord. C.S. Lewis said something similar in his book Mere Christianity. Let me read to you what he has said. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, that is Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That, says Lewis, is the one thing we must not say. A man who said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. In other words, in the light of all the things that Jesus said whilst he was here upon the earth, you either have to conclude that he was a liar or a lunatic, or that he was the Son of God. There really is no middle ground. So who was Jesus? Who is Jesus? Was he a lunatic in urgent need of medical attention? Or was he God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity? If he was a complete fool, then of course we can be quick to dismiss him. But if he was and is God, then everything that he said mattered. Everything that he says matters. And his words have been reliably and accurately recorded for us in the Bible, in the New Testament. At the end of what has been a very enjoyable evening, I hope, I want to leave you with something that Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me read that again. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some people today are what we call universalists. They believe that everybody will go to the Father or to heaven regardless of how they have lived their lives before God. They conclude that because God is love, everybody will be okay at the end of the day. Others think that only good people will go to the Father or to heaven. But Jesus says that no one comes to the Father except through Him. In other words, no one receives eternal life, no one receives entrance into heaven apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus made it abundantly clear whilst he was living on the earth that only those who repent of their godlessness and trust in him and his death upon the cross to reconcile them to God will go to the Father. In John 3, in verses 16 and 17, we read these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Who was Jesus? That really is the big question, isn't it? Was he merely a man? Was he merely a good teacher? Or was he something so much more than that? Was he God? God come to earth? Well, if he was, and obviously I believe that he was, then it makes sense to listen to everything that he said. Jesus said, "I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the only one who can grant eternal life. You must believe in me. You must trust in me." Let me finish by referring to the eye level poster. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. If it was untrue, and he knew it was untrue, then he was a liar. If it was untrue and he thought it was true, then he was a lunatic. But if he was telling the truth, then he is Lord, and we must acknowledge him as such. We're going to sing our final carol, "Angels from the Realms of Glory." Let's stand and sing.
Heavenly Father, we were reminded earlier of the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus. "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Lord, as we face this Christmas period, there will be much happiness, there will be much rejoicing, maybe much sadness for people as well. But Lord, our prayer is that we might realise what it is to rejoice in God our Saviour. God our Saviour, who came to this earth as a baby, that we might be saved. Lord, may that be our primary thought this Christmas. May we catch a new sight of God our Saviour. Amen.